you're here. Fellowship, Rita, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. Let me jump into God's Word here, Jason. It never fails us, right? Mm-hmm. It's always good to start off a program with a passage. In fact, I'm turning to this partly because of your sermon series that you're in the midst of, Equipped to Go, and you've been preaching on, like, God is able, the Son was willing, the Spirit is power, and those that tuned in for the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, they got a little sampling of you actually behind the podium, you sharing a Sunday morning message. I broke yesterday and Monday's edition of Mark and Friends into two parts as you were preaching on being equipped to go because of the Spirit's power. Mm. So our listeners for Monday and Tuesday got to hear what you sound like when you preach. It was pretty good.
In fact, in action.
Yeah. My brother Stu, he really enjoyed Monday's program. I didn't get an email recap from yesterday, but he loved it. In fact, yesterday I was mentioning, in light of the message on the Romans 8 passage that you were dividing one through, basically ended up, most of Romans 8, but that we are no longer under condemnation. And so I asked people on Tuesday, did they live their Monday a little differently with that truth, that power, that we are no longer under condemnation? And then as I introduced the topic yesterday, now that liberation has come, that we are free, or that we've been set free, we're liberated, we're sons and daughters of God, I wondered, how did you live out yesterday, everyone, in that, that understanding? And then on Sunday when you preached, the power because of the Word, that we can go equipped with the knowledge, the insight, the power of God's Word. So I'm going to begin today's program with a reading out of Psalm 119. It's one of those scripture memory verses that I know a number of our listeners are familiar with. It's one of those navigator packets. It's Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Why they leave out 10, I'm not sure, but that's the memory packet. Is how can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? And then they jump to verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the power of God's word, we look at it, we cherish it, we know it's inspired, we know it's instructive, it's a gift from God for us, it's a love letter, but it's an instruction manual breathed through human authors, like recording what content we need to know to follow Christ and to know God. I mean, it's something that we treasure and adore and, you know, long to look at and be convicted by and taught. And yet, that's not true of everyone. In fact, it's not true of every denomination. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's many churches that seldom even open it up. They preach a message, but it's not out of God's Word. And maybe today we can talk a little about God's Word is the truth. It's the manual. It's what God desires to use as a primary source of introducing Him and His truth and the biblical insights that we need to hold on to. So how can I get you fired up with the Word of God?
All we had to do was open it, and that gets me fired up. I mean, you know, you said, well, why did they get rid of verse 10? But I even want to say it's so hard to quote one piece and not go to all of it. Yeah. So verse 9 begins and says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, the answer Paul would tell us is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So a young man cannot keep himself pure. The Bible tells us, flee the evil desires of youth, pursuing peace and righteousness and love along with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. How do we pursue these things? How do we pursue righteousness? How do we pursue that which our youth wants to capture us and take us into other desires? Well, can a young man keep himself pure? Well, he can't. A young man can't keep himself pure, left to his own devices. I just think about that for myself and how easily I can get myself ensnared or entrapped in impurity. And I'm not even talking about, you know, like maybe what you might consider impure, but just things that will create inside of me an anxiousness or that is away from God's desires.
Or it'll just compete for your attention or affections or, you know, even some of the good things. Maybe it's sports, you know, watching sports instead of, you know, spending time in the Word or devotional or just the clarity of mind, because you're consumed with so many things going on that it almost derails something that God wants to speak into you.
Well, it's sort of like this. So if we're just being honest, it's sort of like this. I'm more of a night person than I am a morning person. And at night, I like to think and I like to do things. I find myself writing a lot. So a lot of the times my wife is sitting on the couch and I'm sitting on the floor in front of the coffee table and I'm pounding away on the keyboard on my laptop. And my wife generally will always get up before me and say, hey, I'm going to go to bed. And she'll lean over and she'll start to give me a kiss. And my wife is not a one kisser. My wife is like multiple kisses. She just likes to give me multiple kisses when it's time. This is an unknown blessing to me. I love it. But there are many times where I'm like, I'll give her a kiss and then I'm still typing. And I've set my affections upon something lesser than the one who wants to give me love that I don't deserve, wants to give me something that is far and above what I'm doing in the moment, but I'm so captured by my own desires to finish a thought, to capture a thought, to complete something, that I'm trying to run away from those. I'm trying to run away from it. Look, the moment between my wife and I is absolutely pure. It's absolutely beautiful. And yet I'm trying to run away from that. And I'm not a young man. I'm a middle-aged man. And I'm trying to run away from that. And so there's still this part of me that bristles against purity. And so it says, how can a young man keep himself pure? By guarding it according to your word, is how verse 9 finishes. I love that it uses this language of guarding, because that means that there's a war. That means that there's a battle for your affections and for your desires. There's a battle for what you would set your affections upon. And so I think on my message on Sunday, I talked about subjective and objective faith. And subjective faith is steered by your own desires. You become the subject of what it is you have faith in. So you like what you desire, what kind of makes you feel good, what it is that you want. That's subjective. But God and God's word is objective. It is the object of our desire. It is what we point ourselves towards. It is the goal. And so God, through it, becomes the object of our worship. It is outside of us and outside of our feelings. And that's why sometimes we bristle against it, because it's difficult for us, because there are things that God's word says that's tough to read. There are things that God's word says that are hard for us. Listen, I know people who are struggling with a myriad of different sins, and there is a compassion and an empathy that I want to have for them that sometimes will make me want to go, but God, why does your word have to say that? Because I really want to love them. I want to love them even more. I want to say it's okay. See, I can love them, but there's a part of me, and you know it if you're listening, you know it. There's a part of you that wants to say it's okay. And yet you have not been called to be God's editor. You've been called to be God's messenger. You can't take away what God has said and still follow God. You can't do that. We have to follow God and what His word says. And that's why this verse says, by guarding it according to your word, not guarding it with your word, not guarding it by your word, not guarding it around your word, guarding it according to, which means the word gets to govern it. The word gets to say.
It trumps everything.
It trumps everything. And I think that's what's so difficult for us, isn't it? It's because we have to give every bit of our life over to God's word. We have to say that God's word is good for everything, that it is truth. When Jesus prayed to the Lord in John 17 and he says, sanctify them in your word is truth, he meant it. The ongoing process of becoming more Christ-like, the ongoing process of moving from sinful to sinless, as we're being sanctified and being conformed more into the image of Christ, we will never become sinless. But as we're moving away from sin, we're fleeing the evil desires of youth. As we're doing that, as we're being sanctified, it's coming through the Word. And so you can't live a Christian life apart from God's Word. The psalmist knew that. This is long before Jesus comes and walks on the earth. The psalmist do it. In the longest psalm in the Psalms is all about the celebration of God's word. The psalmist is singing about God's word. By the way, it's just amazing. I love later on where he says in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I love that it's a meditation all day long. And listen, how do you guard your heart? Will you stand on the high walls of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God, and you stand there and you meditate upon it all day long? That's why I love when you opened it up. You said this is a navigator verse, and I love it because what are the navigators all about? Hide the word in your heart. Why? Because then you can meditate upon it. Write a verse on a piece of paper and put it in your pocket, and every time you stop in a line, take it out and read that verse over and over and over again. Hide God's word in your heart because you need it to guard your heart, and you need it because it is truth. It is absolute truth, and it is truth that is up and above whatever truth you may have. Because we believe all kinds of truths. We believe all kinds of truths. And the problem is that at one point somebody believed the earth was flat and they thought that was true. And the earth is not flat. Mm. And today we have people who would walk around and tell you that their truth is that God does not exist. But I'm going to tell you, friends, that there will come a day when the clouds will part and the sky will open up and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will return. And on that day, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone who says that this isn't true on that day will realize truth and they will yell out and cry out in truth. And so your truth right now might be just momentary. But it's really false.
Hey, with that, every knee will bow. This is just a thought that crossed my mind. Will it be that many of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will be kneeling in worship, and the others will be almost kneeling because they'll be forced down or pressed down by His majesty and power and authority, almost a fearful surrendering, submitting?
Well, C.S. Lewis calls it the weight of glory. He says, who can stand when the weight of glory bears upon you? So I think we'll all be on our knees. I think some of us will be on our stomachs, you know, prostrate, just like, oh, Lord Jesus. I mean, it'll be a day unlike any other day. And Revelation is really an interesting book because Revelation does not in any part of it give you these significant long movements. They're just short snapshots. And that's because I think that God's just trying to tell us this is going to happen, and there's not enough words for me to tell you all about it. Mm-hmm. There's not enough words for me to describe what is, and there's not even words.
Yeah, nor would you understand it.
Right, yeah, there's not even words to describe. I mean, we think about heaven is only mentioned in the Bible a few times, and generally it is just like one verse. And Paul talks about going to the third heaven, and the longest place that we even learn anything about heaven is in Revelation, where we learn, you know, that it's like the various jewels and jasper and amethyst, and it's like transparent gold streets and the heights of the walls and the glory of God. And even then, I think that we only have 12 verses. Yeah. 12 verses to describe heaven. How much time in our Christian lives do we spend thinking about heaven? Do we spend talking about when I get to heaven and you know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to... And this is a thing that we don't even have an adequate picture of because words cannot describe what heaven is like. Words cannot describe... Look at when Moses said, God, show me what the manifestation of your full glory looks like. God says, it would kill you. Mm-hmm. It would kill you, but I can show you the place that I was just at. And that'll be sufficient. And it is sufficient for Moses.
Was it Elijah where he passed through the rushing of the wind and the sound and everything?
That was Elijah.
Okay, and then just the back of him, just a glance was all that he could take.
So how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And I think that when we know the power of God's word, when we have experienced the power of God's word, when we have seen what His Word can do, and His Word can do more than, I mean, just think about your own testimony maybe about what God's Word has done, or think about people that in your congregation or in your sphere of kind of Christian influence. I mean, I know for me, I mean, I've seen the power of God at work. I have seen it take a fallen man and make him the head of his house. I have seen it take a wrecked marriage and turn it into a marriage that walks along with other marriages and counsels them. I've seen it release people's hurts and give them freedom. I have seen God's word take the lost and turn them into leaders. And I have seen, and you have seen, and we know that the power of God can take a wretch like you and I and turn us into somebody who would follow, love, and glorify Jesus Christ. There's a, I used a quote on Sunday morning. I love, it's a John Piper quote. I have it on a thing in my office by my desk. And it says this.
Your friend, John Piper.
He's not my friend.
But hey, you've supported him. I think you referenced that you, with all the books you've bought of him.
Oh, that was a different guy. That was John Stott.
Oh, okay.
That was John Stott. But I have supported John. I must have at least bought one of his kids lunch because I bought enough of his books. But John Piper says this. He says, I read it daily. He's talking about God's Word. I read it daily. I meditate upon it. I'm convicted by it. I find joy in it. It consumes my thoughts, and I have dedicated my life to it. John Piper says, I have stood in front of the window all these years of my life, not to protect it from being broken, because the Word is neither frail nor in need of my keeping, or because the owner of the chalet has told me to do so. I stood by this window because the glory of the Alps on the other side is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. And John Piper is saying, I can't deny the power of the Word, the power of its glory and what it can do in the lives of people. The Westminster Catechism asks in question 4, it says, how does it appear that the Scriptures are the Word of God? And it says, the Scriptures manifest themselves to be the Word of God by their majesty and their purity, by the consent of all parts, the scope of the whole, which is to give all glory to God, by their light and power to convince and to convert sinners, to comfort and build up believers unto salvation. But the Spirit of God, bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in the heart of man, is alone able to fully persuade that they are very Word of God. So when we talk about the Word of God, what comes along, see, when you open the Bible and you begin to read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes. That's what the Westminster Catechism is saying. It's saying that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in the heart of man. So when I open up the Bible, it's like I'm flipping a switch. It's like the Holy Spirit comes, and the Spirit of God comes and bears witness in my heart, persuading me that it is the Word of God. When I open the Word of God and I am overwhelmed, it is not because I am overwhelmed. It is because the Holy Spirit is overwhelming me. Because the Holy Spirit is opening up and bearing witness. It's as if the Holy Spirit is saying, look at that. Look at that. I mean, it was funny because I got here and you said, hey, how about Psalm 119? And we opened it up, and as you were opening the program and you're reading it, I was underlining things that I really feel like the Holy Spirit was saying, look at that, and look at that, and look at that, and look at that. And because we know that, because that's kind of grabbed a hold of us, then the next verse makes total sense. With my whole heart, I seek you. Mm-hmm. Well, where does he seek him? He says, according to the Word. So where do we seek? In the Word. In the Word. And let me not wander from your commandments. Oh, my gosh. That preaches, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, just think of all the times on Sunday morning you've stood there with your hands in the air and said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Let me be honest. I love the brutal clarity of that hymn. I love it because many of us would not admit that we're prone to wander, and many of us certainly would not admit that we sometimes thinking about leaving the one we love. And God wants us to be so in love with His Word that we would never set our affections upon anything less. Never would do that. Never at all. I want to share, I had an illustration that I was watching a video, it was on Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it was his life, and at the end, Paul Washer gave this illustration that I thought was really, really powerful. And Paul Washer says this, he says, what if a man had a wife, and he needs to go on a long journey? So he leaves her in the company and care of a few men. And let's say that she's just a simple woman with a simple beauty, you know, a real wonder about her. She is unsoiled and she is pure. But the men decide that while he's gone, that she's just not attractive enough, that she doesn't garner the attention that they think that she deserves. So they begin to dress her up in gaudy fashion, they paint her face, and they use words to try to make her seem more palatable to carnal men. You know, they put a red hat on her because somebody says that she looked better with a red hat on. And somebody says, well, if her skirt was just a little shorter, we could see a little more leg. We'd love that. And they put a little shorter skirt on her. And what I love about Paul Washer's illustration is that I think it shows what we sometimes do with the Word of God, because we are prone to wander. And when we leave God's Word, we want to change it to validate so that it'll say where we're at is okay. The sinful heart wants nothing better than to validate itself through God's Word and say, see, the Word says it's okay if I do that. The Word says it's okay that I do that. And no. You know what? The Word is constantly saying, don't wander. Don't leave your first love. Don't go there. And so how does the psalmist not wander? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Verse 11.
I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, I'm not saying, friends, that you have to become a scripture memory expert, but I am saying that you better begin to store up in your heart some of God's word, some of who God is and what God is, some of the revelation of his glory through his word inside of your heart, because you're filling your heart up with other things. I know you are. Mm-hmm. Listen, how many of us from my generation, if I said Toys R Us, you go, more games, more toys. Oh, boy, I shouldn't be a Toys R Us kid. Or how many of us, if we say baloney, then we go, my baloney has a first name. It's O-S-E-A-R. My baloney has a second name. You know, or the Kool-Aid man busting through the wall. Why is that? Because there's a place in my heart that's storing all my 80s kind of childhood. And listen, there's room in that heart for more of God's word, because there's sure room in there for a whole lot of junk. I can remember, my son and I, we joke around. Well, I'll start with like a line from Star Wars. You know, I'll just say something. No, you're not my father. You know, and my son, he just can jump right in at 10 years old, and he'll go, it's difficult for you to believe. You know, and we'll like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm going, gosh, if we can, and I'll tell him after, I go, gosh, if we can remember that, you know, we could memorize John chapter 5. Mm. We could memorize Philippians 2. You know, we were in Israel, it was a couple of years ago, it was like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, we went, and Herb and Cheryl Coates went, and I still can remember, like it was yesterday, Herb getting up there on the Mount of the Beatitudes, and him from memory, no Bible open, no nothing, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and I felt shamed, not in a bad way. Mm. But I felt like, oh, Lord, there is room in my heart to put your word. My brother Herb has shown me that I need to store more of that in there. And why do I need to do that? Because it says here that I have to guard, be guarded according to the word. And listen to me, the attacks don't get less, they intensify. They intensify. Those of you today who are going, if just feels like there's more attacks, yes, they intensify. And therefore, we need to have a whole salvo of scripture and word hidden inside of our heart, ready to go. And I think that's because of verse 19. I love verse 19. I just underlined it when you got to this and you were talking about it. I'm a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all time. And gosh, we hate the word rules, don't we? Mm-hmm. But you know what? The commandments of God are not to be oppressive. They're to bring you freedom. God has let you know exactly what all of them are. There's no surprises. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and he's going to go, there's a new rule. He's told you what they are. He's lined out where the fences are and told you where not to go. In fact, all the way in Genesis chapter 2, what does he tell Adam and Eve? You can do anything in here, but don't eat from that tree because it's dangerous. Even in the beginning, he says, don't do that because I understand the proclivities of your human heart and what this will do. And so God has given us his commandments. You know why? Because we are sojourners on the earth. We are strangers in a strange land. And this is not our home. Heaven is, but we have been called to be here. And as we try to be salt and light while we're here, we need God's commandments. We need to tell him, don't hide those from me. Show them to me. Convict me by them. Make me long for them, Lord, because I need them. Because if not, I will be overtaken. I need to be guarded according to your word. I need my whole heart to seek you because I am prone to wander, Lord. I feel it. And I don't want to lose or leave the one I love.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Psalm 119, verses 33 and 34. The mission today, listener, is to read Psalm 119. Get into God's Word. That'll keep you fed and nourished and blessed as you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through this wonderful portion of Scripture. Psalm 119, it's right in about the very middle of the Bible. If you open it up with an Old and New Testament, you'll find the Psalms, and 119 is a great one to start with today. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.